In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I'm reading from Luke's Gospel, the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 25. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus. Why? Because they want to be healed. They want to listen to his teaching. But most of all, to be healed. The demonized wants to be set free. So great crowds were traveling with Jesus. And he turned and addressed them. "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now, is Jesus telling us to hate? No, what he's trying to say to us, I am looking for total commitment, 24/7. I am looking for people who will give their whole life to me. 24/7, total commitment. Let me tell you about total commitment. It has to do with talking animals. Now just listen, that's very cute, but it's so true. There was a pig and a chicken. The chicken would boast every morning, "Oh yes, I go to Father Jones, Farmer Jones, and Farmer Jones eats my 3 eggs every morning, and he loves my eggs." And the pig said, "You give a donation to Farmer Jones, but when he eats the bacon, I have total commitment." You see, because you've got to kill the pig. Total commitment is what God is looking for. And we just canonized Mother Teresa, who was totally committed to Jesus and totally committed to the poor. Oh yes, Mother Teresa, how wonderful, how glorious she was in loving Jesus, even when she didn't feel it, even though when she didn't have any experience of it. She loved Jesus to the nth degree, and she showed that love by caring for the poor. She would sit before the Blessed Sacrament for hours, smiling at Jesus, and she felt absolutely nothing. I tell you, Mother Teresa gave total commitment to Jesus Christ and to what he was calling her to. She only had one experience of the Lord. It happened when she was leaving her convent and coming into Calcutta, and the Lord spoke to her, "I want you to come and care for the people that have no one to care for them in Calcutta." That's all she's ever heard God from. The rest was all done in faith. Oh yes, she was a faithful woman. I remember a man telling me, very interestingly enough, when Mother Teresa was in Boston, and this man had no idea that he was going to get close to Mother Teresa. She was in the car, and he put his head at the window and looked at Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa did not say one word, but in her spirit she said, "I will see you in Calcutta." And he knew it. And you know what? He went to Calcutta. She said, "I was waiting for you." Oh yeah, she was a saint. She was a saint. My Lord, total commitment. God is looking for total commitment from me and from you. Total commitment. I remember Carmela Muccini. Oh yes, totally committed to Jesus. Totally committed to God. And God took care of her. You see, Carmela had 2 heart operations, and she owed an awful lot of money to a big hospital in Boston. And they brought this to the courts, and the judge was very interesting. He looked like he would send his mother up the river. And the lawyer for the side of the hospital said, "She sends us $5 a month." And then the judge looked at Carmela and said, "Are you able to send more?" "No, Your Honor." "Have you been sick?" "Yes, Your Honor, very weak." The judge tapped his gavel on the bench and said, no longer $5 a month, 25 cents a month. And that was the ruling. But you know what? When Carmela got a job, she paid it all back. Imagine 25 cents a month, not $5. Very interesting. She was totally committed to the Lord. And who else do I know that was totally committed to the Lord? St. Paul. Totally committed to the Lord. He could have left the jail because they whipped a Roman citizen and he wants to bring his case to Rome so that even Caesar would hear about Jesus. Oh yes, he was totally committed. Totally committed, St. Paul. So committed that when John Mark refused to go with them one time, he just completely got rid of John Mark. Totally committed. And at the end, in one of the letters, he seems to have made up with John Mark and forgave him. Totally committed. You go 100%, not 99.5%, 100% for Jesus and 100% for what he's calling you to do. It's called total commitment. What about Emily Alves, my friend Emily in Plymouth? Oh yes, she calls us darling. She's so beautiful, totally committed to the Lord. Her husband left her with several children, and she was very sad. And one day she was washing windows, I believe, and she felt, this ring that my husband gave me is a bond to my husband. I'm going to send it to the missions. And she sent it to the missions, and guess what? From that day on, she was totally committed to the Lord. Totally committed. She said, the Lord will be my husband. The Lord will be my guide. The Lord will be my everything. And it was true. He became all those things for Emily Alves. Total commitment. Total commitment. Just like the pig. Total commitment. In order to get the bacon, the pig had to die. Total commitment. The chicken only gave a donation. But Jesus is called not for donation. He's called that we give him total commitment. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Well, I'm going to tell you the cross that you have. It's your own being. Your own being, carrying your own self with all the pluses and all the minuses. And I'm telling you, it's difficult sometimes to carry the cross that I am. It's difficult, but yet God calls us to do it in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. Which of you, having to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers would laugh at him and say, this man began to build but did not have resources to finish. I tell you, Jesus is talking about the cost of discipleship. He's talking about the cost of discipleship. You'll hear that in the next one. Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he could successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he was still away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all possessions cannot be my disciple. The cost of discipleship is everything. It's total commitment. It's total commitment. Jesus is not telling us to hate. He's telling us, I want you totally committed to me and to the work that I'm going to give you. Total commitment. I'm telling you, I'm asking you a question. Are you totally committed? Are you totally given over to Jesus? Are you just a pew potato? You come to Mass and you sit in the pew and that's all you do. Are you totally committed 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Are you totally committed? I remember once a social worker said to me, you have no days off. You always are looking for people. I said, I have days off, but if I find people, I'm going to witness to them. She said, that's not good. I said, well, good or not, that's what I'm going to be, because that's who I am. I'm going to witness to them. I remember being in Nantucket, and I met the Fehrenbachs that day. Oh, beautiful. She was reading a book, and I knew it was a Christian book, and I went up to her and said, you know, that's a Christian book. I said, where do you come from? She said, St. Louis. I said to her, I've been looking for another station because I've got a little extra money. She said, my friend is a manager of a station. Total commitment. That's how we got to St. Louis. Oh, yes, I'm telling you, God is not looking for cheap labor. God is looking for total commitment. And who is going to be totally committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? We see people in the Middle East that are suffering persecution for the sake of Jesus, totally committed, giving their life to Jesus, even if it means death. What about the priest that they shot in France? Totally committed as he's celebrating the Eucharist. I'm telling you, we need to be totally committed. That's why the church has not had the effect on the world, because people have been dabbling with Christianity and not totally committed, not totally given over to Jesus, not totally given over to the work that he wants you to do, but first to Jesus as a person. Totally committed. Are you totally committed? And if you're not, you could say, I want to be. I want to be totally committed. Or I want to be totally committed. Whatever it is, wherever you start, that's a good place to start. I want to be totally committed. Where are you? Where are you today? Are you totally committed to Jesus? Are you totally committed to what he called you to do? I'm telling you, this is what he's looking for disciples that are given over to him totally, 24/7. I'm reading from a letter of St. Paul to Philemon. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner for Christ Jesus, he's in jail, urge you on behalf of my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become in my imprisonment. I am sending him, that is my own heart, Onesimus, back to you. I should have liked to retain him for myself so that he might serve me on your behalf in my imprisonment for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that the good you do might not be forced but voluntarily. Perhaps this is why he was away from you for a while.
He was a slave.
Away from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a brother, beloved especially to me, but even more so to you, as a man in the Lord. So if you regard me as a partner of the gospel, welcome him as you would welcome me. In other words, Paul is saying, don't treat him harshly. Welcome him as a brother, even though he was a slave. Don't treat him as a slave. He's a Christian. Treat him as a brother. Treat him as a brother. These are the seeds that will abolish slavery. Imagine, this is the first seed that will one day abolish slavery in the world. And this is real stuff. Onesimus was a slave, but God wanted him to be a brother to the people he's sending back to Philemon. Interesting, very interesting. God doesn't want slaves. He wants free men who will do things because they love him. He looks for things that are going to be done voluntarily, not because I have to do things. The Lord's not into have-to-doing. The Lord is into voluntarily people giving their whole life to him and to the work he's called to do. But notice I'm telling to him first, not the work. To him first. That means we need a relationship with Jesus. I'm telling you that today, the gospel was Jesus went up a mountain and prayed all night before he appointed 12 of his apostles. He called those whom he desired. As I said before, he desires you. And he called 12 to be his apostles. And it's so wonderful that he went to pray. Imagine, he's God, but as a man, he needs to seek the face of the Father all night and all night and all night. This is the prayer of Jesus, so that he would be the one that would choose the right people. And even Judas Iscariot was chosen, the one that would betray Jesus. But you know what? Jesus loved Judas. He loved Judas even till the end. I'm looking at Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 21. Let's look at it. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat on the other side, what's going to happen? A great crowd gathered around him. Wherever Jesus is, you're going to find a great crowd. Why? Because people are sick and dying and they need to be healed. And he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. So Jesus went with him. Other times he doesn't go with people. He just speaks the word and the people get better. But he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. A large crowd. They want to touch him. They want to be healed. They want to be delivered. Oh yes, things have not changed. You know, when we receive the Eucharist, we receive Jesus. That's where the great miracle should be happening. The great miracle should be happening at the Eucharist. I told you the story about Father Adam speaking about discipleship one day in France. And he said, Jesus doesn't have many disciples because it's 24/7. And there was this man who came up to Father Adam at the end of Mass. He says, "I am a disciple." Father Adam said, "How do you know?" He said, "I was totally blind. And you know what? When the Lord and when the priest raised up the host, my left eye was opened. And when he raised up the blood, my right eye was opened." This happened months before. He said, "And I have given myself to Jesus totally. I've given myself to Jesus totally." And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had woman trouble. She had endured much under many physicians and spent all she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus. Isn't this something? Someone told her about Jesus. When's the last time you've told somebody about Jesus? When's the last time you told someone to bring someone to Holy Rosary to be healed as we pray for the sick? But you see, I don't heal the sick. It is God who heals the sick. It is Jesus who heals the sick. But rather she grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his cloak, I will be made well." Immediately, there's that word again, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware of that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my cloak?" You see, I'm telling you, the disciples think that Jesus is talking ragtime, because the crowds, how are you going to know who touched your cloak? Because there's so many people around here. "Who touched my cloak?" But she was the one that touched Jesus with faith. She believed that if she would only get a touch from Jesus, that her hemorrhages would be healed. Jesus turned about the crowd and said, "Who touched my cloak?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole story. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." You see, she had faith. She didn't only touch Jesus. She believed that if she touched him, that God would heal her. She had faith. Let me tell you, faith is so necessary. You know, when people come to us, many of them have no faith. So we say, "We're going to be the faith for you. We're going to believe for you. You have no faith because you've been sick so long. So we'll be faith for you. We'll use our faith." But it's so much easier when people have faith to be healed, as well as we have faith to bring healing to the sick. While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead, my Lord. Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and his brother James. When they came in the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion. People were weeping and wailing loudly. When he entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but is sleeping." And they laughed at him. So you could see that their weeping and commotion wasn't very deep. When he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in there where the child was, he took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately, there's that word again, the girl got up and began to walk. She was about 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. You know, everyone's going to know it. You just tell people, "Don't say this to anyone," and you know what's going to happen. They're going to tell everyone. And you know, the crowd will see that the little girl is well. She's give her something to eat. I remember someone coming to me with anorexia. And very interesting. Her father brought her. She was as thin could be. As a matter of fact, she was dying because of the anorexia. So the father said, "My daughter doesn't eat." So I said to her, I wasn't going to verbally abuse her. I didn't want to say, "Well, you got to eat," because people have said that before. I said, "You know what? We're going to open the scripture, and we're going to see what Jesus says to you." And we opened the scripture to Mark's gospel. Give her something to eat. This is real. This is real. So you know what happened? I asked her what she really wanted. She said a vanilla frap. I said to the father, "Go buy a vanilla frap for her." Jesus told her, "Give her something to eat."
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord is looking for total committed people, people who give their very breath to Jesus. He's looking for you, and he called you his beloved. Please tell him, Jesus, you can have everything. I give you my life. I give you where I'm going. I give you what I'm thinking. I give you my whole being. Total commitment. That's what he's looking for. And faith, that woman had faith to be healed. Her blood stopped running when she touched Jesus with faith. Other people touched Jesus, but not with faith. And so she was healed. Touch Jesus at the Eucharist with faith. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.